All right, good to see everybody out this morning, this evening. Boy, I tell you. Oh, good to see everybody out this evening. It really is. All the singing that we've had, and I'm looking forward to the Singspiration. That's going to be good. So we got that coming up. Don't forget, Saturday the 28th, Lone Mountain, then Sunday 29th here. That evening. So get you some songs and find something to sing, and you need them, well, whatever. But anyway, all right, this morning what we were talking about, I've been studying on this and about the two natures. And there again, it amazes me how the Lord put things in the Bible that we can dig out and we can see it and use it in our lives. And I mentioned to you, Peter's life really is good for us. The true spiritual victory, honestly, is going to, it all hinges on us recognizing and staying on top of the old nature. That's within us, and it's within us at all times. And I'm not going to repeat everything, but you're going to hear me say that off and on through this. And probably the next time we get together, I may even have some more of it. But if we ignore the old nature, here's the important part. If we ignore it, if we decide, hey, we've got this. We got this going. It's all going good. If we do that, we're going to get in trouble. It's going to be like bringing in a Trojan horse to your heart. You ever heard the story about the Trojan horse? I'm sure most of you have. That's what it's going to be, and it's going to result in somewhat of a tragedy. Go to the book of Galatians, or you can just write it down if you want to, but Galatians chapter 5. Paul states here in Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 17, he says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would." He even states that in Romans 7. He said, "The things that I want to do, I don't seem to get done. The things that I don't want to do, that's what happens." That's how strong that the flesh is. But the more we feed the spirit, the stronger it's going to get. Now, true victory is going to, honestly, it comes by knowing your enemy. Understanding your enemy and preparing every day to overcome your enemy. When I was in the military, the stuff we studied, and we studied stuff from Napoleon, we studied stuff from Alexander the Great, and we studied stuff from names that are maybe a little more familiar, MacArthur, and from Patton, and they wanted to know their enemy. They wanted to know what they were up against. Listen, honestly, our enemy are not these cults out here. They're not the occult. It's the flesh and blood. It tells us that in Ephesians. Our enemy is with us every day. It's that old nature. And if we don't pay attention and if we don't get it under control, it becomes a problem. Listen, I know my... Let's see, what did Clint Eastwood use it in a movie one time? Man's got to know his limitations. You got to know your limitations. I know what my limitations are. I've tried my best to study that. I know what bothers me, and I know what doesn't bother me. And so with that, what you want to do, that's your enemy. Don't attack that stuff. Don't go to that area that you know it's a problem. Because we need to be careful with that. When it comes at us, yeah, we've got to fight it. But we don't need to, how did Romans put it, Paul put it in there, don't make provisions for the flesh. There was a reason he put that in there. You know, you don't want to drink beer anymore. I'm not going to drink beer anymore. Never again. Well, I'm going to keep one in the back of the fridge, though, just in case. You're asking for a problem. These phones can be a problem. Computers, they're huge problems in our lives. And they're huge problems in our children's lives. How many kids are babysitted by the television, by computer? You know, I never had that big issue with the television. No big issue. My dad was a television watcher. He loved his little things he watched. Wintertime, it was dark. If it was cold, I didn't go out too much. But I didn't sit there. I went and put the headphones on. I listened to some different garbage. I didn't see it. I just heard it. But televisions were a big issue in people's lives. They couldn't skip a show. I mean, it was like tragic. I even got that way with what was that show we used to watch? ER. Oh, man, I recorded ER now. I'm going to watch ER. I ain't missing an episode of that until the fireman lady kissed the doctor lady. And then I'm like, I'm done. That's enough. I didn't need that. I see that enough. So we need to be careful with that. But we need to know our enemy. What takes us to that point? And, my kids, because of the fact Sandy wasn't a big TV watcher, I wasn't a big TV watcher. Because if the sun was up, man, when I was a kid, I was in the sun. And she was the same way. So my kids didn't really watch a lot of TV, which in turn, really, that's a good thing. And they weren't under that kind of influence all the time. And yeah, we watch movies. If it was Clint Eastwood, shoot 'em up, bang, bang, blood and guts, that's what I watched. And so they saw violence, but none of them went out and shot up a school. None of them went out and robbed banks. It didn't mess with their mind because they wasn't in it 24/7. They were out and about doing things, getting kicked by horses and cows and bit and whatever else. Kids these days, they sit there and that's all they do. They watch this mess and it's day in and it's day out and it just... You got to have some common sense. I watch Fox News once in a while. Anymore, I've got to where it just irritates me. Is Sean Hannity? Shocking news. Breaking. You've never heard nothing like this. He said the same thing Tuesday night. And pretty much all the same stuff. And it's like, I'll go to drag racing or I'll look up some rodeo. You know, watch some nut get on a 2,000-pound bull like he's going to own him or something. But, you know, I'd rather see that. We got to be careful. You need to know your enemy and you need to be prepared. Now, Simon Peter, it's interesting how he addressed this. Go back here and look at 1 Peter. When he opened, when he sat down to pen this, I believe, well, I know for a fact, the Holy Spirit told him what to pen down. So he penned down, he said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I thought, that's interesting. Then I went to 2 Peter. He's close here. Pretty much his last words is what you're reading when you read 2 Peter. And he wrote, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, and I looked at that and I'm like, now why in 1 Peter did he come out with Peter? Why did he come out with Simon Peter at the end of it? And I believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to understand of this, the two natures. Peter is an excellent example. Simon, the sinner. Peter, the saint. And he's an excellent example of that. And he goes on down and he tells us things we ought to be doing. And he says in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity," which is love. And then he says something very interesting. And I believe this is the key to why he started out Simon Peter. Because he says, "For if these things be in you and abound," in other words, there you make it an important part of your life. He said, "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren," in other words, nor unfruitful, "in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unfruitful. And I think of all people, he knew that. And he says in verse 10, at the very end, he says, "For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail." Fall. Excuse me. That's interesting how he put that. And I believe he started it out Simon Peter, and the Holy Ghost wanted us to understand that he was saying, "I am Simon, the natural man, the sinner, and Peter, the saint, all at the same time. And I want you to understand something. I know," if anybody knows, Peter knows, "that if you don't do these things, you're going to have problems." Now, we got saved, but the flesh didn't change. We had a new birth within that's totally different from the old nature. Now, one of the most dangerous times in a believer's life, as we mentioned about the Trojan horses, when we reach that stage, we're doing really good, and we think we've gained victory. It's then that we're going to get careless. Peter and them did the same thing. They lived their life the same way we live our lives. They had all of these things that come at them. You see, within our hearts, really, we have a need. And it's a constant dependence upon God's grace. Listen, we can't do this without God's grace. We've got to have God's grace to have that victory. We get that grace by a prayerful life, by studying the Word of God, confession of sins, faithfulness in doing the Lord's work, the Lord's Supper. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, man, I can't even really explain it, put it into words, how I feel when we do that. Now, Paul wrote us something that's really good. Go to Romans 7. I want you to understand this. Reality is that we're going to fall. It's going to happen because you've got the old nature. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. I wish there was a way that we could get to where we want. But I don't see it on this side of heaven. You go back in the Bible. You got Abraham. Abraham wavered. Abraham fell. Took off down to Egypt. He wasn't trusting God. And what a mess that's causing still going on today with Ishmael, all of his offspring. Listen, David fell, a man after God's own heart. Look what he did. Solomon was the wisest king in that day that has ever come. He made it to 60 years old. And during that time, he got into idol worship, all kind of mess, all over, just to be frank about it, sexual desires. Caused him super issues. And there's many, many more people. But look at Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Paul says, "For we are saved." Oh, that's Romans chapter 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He realized, "I am wretched. I'm depraved. I'm useless." He realized that, but yet Paul was a saved man. Listen, the Lord saved him on the road to Damascus. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." You know, he realized that. Serious issues in Paul's life. Now, I want to show you something in Luke 5. Go to the book of Luke. We'll be here for a bit. Luke 5, I've preached on Luke 5. Man, there's so much in Luke 5. And I'm going to go back over some of what I've preached because I think it's really, really important. But I'm going to show you something. To me, it was awesome. And it's how the Holy Spirit works in the Word of God. That's why I've told you, study the Word of God. Dig in there. Pull out all the little nuggets. Ask the Lord to help you see things that are important. You see, as we study it, we find all this stuff, and it helps our Christian life more than anything there is, or possibly could. So far, there was really no real outward showing of change in all of these guys' lives. Jesus had called them. He had said, "Hey guys, follow me." We see that in John chapter 1. I think this would be basically the third time that he's actually spoke to them and called them. But he says, let's look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's." Now, here he is, Jesus. He's already dealt with Andrew. He's dealt with John. He's dealt with Peter. He's dealt with Nathaniel, with Philip. He's called them to be fishers of men. He went back again. If you go read the book of Mark chapter 1, that was basically the second time. He said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Now here he is later. He needs somewhere to preach. The crowd is pressing him. And he gets in Simon's boat. He's already told Simon, "I shall be called Peter." But he gets in Simon's boat. And then he says, after he preaches, he entered into one Simon's boat and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the shore, and he taught the people. But then in verse 4 it says, "And when he left off speaking, he said, 'Simon, launch out into the deep, Simon.'" What happened to Simon Peter? Well, he's called him twice. They're back fishing again. They done forgot all about it. They're right back into their old life again. That old nature is there. It's present. And he uses Simon, Simon. And then It says again in verse 5, and Simon. Now, there's three times here, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5. As I mentioned, where's the usual phrase? Well, it doesn't come along until later in this story. You see, all of a sudden, he says, "Fish, go out here in the deep and drop your nets." And I've preached that before about the nets. He said, "Drop your nets." And Simon, he stands up at Jesus, just like I would you or you would me. Hey, we've been fishing all night. We ain't caught a thing. I just washed all of my nets. You're a preacher. Unemployed carpenter, more like it. But you're a preacher of the kingdom. I know that you're the master. And then he says, "We've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net." In other words, you know what? Jesus, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove you wrong, Jesus. I'm going to let a net down because I ain't dirtying up all my nets. I'm going to let this net down and I'm going to catch some fish here. Well, then he feels like an idiot. You know, he got to pull all the net out, the net in. Could have been all of the nets. He goes to pull the net in. It is breaking. It is so full of fish, it's coming apart. You got to wonder, what was he thinking at that time? What was going through his mind? Well, pretty much the Bible tells us. He says in verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, oh, I missed the verse. I went to the wrong side of the page. And when, now notice verse 8, they had caught all these fish, verse 7, the net is breaking, verse 6, their net break, and they're beckoning their partners, John, James, get out here, help us. We got fish going everywhere. We got to get these in. What kind of business were they in? Fishing business. Look at the money, but it's getting away because the net's breaking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it. You know, when the fleshly side all of a sudden makes you look like an idiot. It's like, what was I thinking? Dummy. Why didn't I listen to the Lord? Why hadn't I been listening to the Lord all this time? I've been wandering around with him ever since you got saved, by the way. He's been telling you, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. You shouldn't do this. This is what you ought to be doing. And we just keep right on doing the fleshly thing. That's what Peter was doing. Right on doing the fleshly thing. The Lord had called him twice for sure and said, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They're going to be his disciples. Eventually, they're going to be his apostles. They're going to be the Jesus started the church and they were going to carry it on. But here they are. They ain't paying no attention to Jesus. They're listening to him. He's cruising around with them. They're watching the miracles that have taken place. But yet, when the part tells you, hey, stupid, you knew better. You done it anyway. Now look. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. What's the last? Oh, Lord. Now, before that, he said, verse 5, and Simon, That's the flesh talking. Answering said unto him, Master, Rabbi, look it up. Teacher. He's the Son of God. Peter's already told him who he was. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. But yet, all of a sudden, now he's just, Master, we fished all night. We ain't caught nothing. And you want me to take all of my nets and get them dirty again? I've just spent hours cleaning my nets while you were doing what? Speaking to the people? Now all of a sudden, oh Lord. By the way, that oh Lord is, what would I say, a prerequisite for discipleship. If he ain't, oh Lord, of your life, you ain't going to be his disciple. That's the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. If you're not willing for him to have the lordship over your life, then you're going to have the same problem Simon Peter's got. He's going to do dumb things. You're going to let the old flesh talk you into all sorts of junk. And things ain't going to work out for you. It's going to turn into a mess. Listen, God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. He realized, wow, man, what a fool I've been. Drops down in front of him and says, oh Lord. Well, you see, at the end of this story, it all changed. They drug their boats to the sand, up on the sand, out of the water, and they walked away. And for close to 3 years, they left it alone. And they cruised around with the Lord. Now go over to John 21. We know this story too. Peter, Simon, really, at this point, he stands out here. He denies Jesus 3 times. And seriously, this is really important. We're going to look at this and then we're done. In Luke 5, the net broke. They had all these fish. In Luke 5, Peter said, you know what? I don't want to put all my nets down. Man, I've cleaned them all. I'm going to throw one out there for you. Basically, in his mind, just to prove you wrong. But now look at John 21. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and which is Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that was James and John, and 2 other disciples. So we know for a fact there was at least 7 of the 12 apostles that were fishermen. Because they're all with Peter. They're down at the Sea of Galilee. And they really wasn't supposed to be there. If you research it, that really wasn't, they weren't supposed to be there. They were supposed to be in Galilee, but he didn't tell them to go hang out at the ocean. There again, where's your enemy? Don't go hang out where your enemy is. Sure, he's with us. The old nature, but the old nature likes the honky-tonks. The old nature likes the areas of darkness that we shouldn't be anyway. The old nature, like, don't set yourself up. Peter set himself up. The 6 followed along with Peter. Peter's denied the Lord. He's already feeling bad about it. The Lord's already talked to him, I'm sure. Probably hugged his neck. Go wait. Peter gets there. He says, I'm going fishing. Verse 3. And they said, well, hey, we're going with you. Now I'll jump in the boat. And they head out there and they're fishing all night long. Let that be a lesson for you. If you ain't got Jesus in the boat with you, you ain't going to catch nothing. Jesus ain't in the boat. They've done backed up. Boy, listen, there is argument after argument with theologians and Bible students. Well, Peter was just going to make a little money. He wasn't really going against Christ. He wasn't really going back to his old ways. I don't know if he was or not. Personally, I think he was going back to his old ways. He was like, you know what? I'm tired of waiting on this. Let's go fishing. Money's out there. Food too. He heads out. They go fishing. And then all of a sudden, there's somebody on the seashore. And he says, you got any meat? And if you notice, their answer is N-O with a capital N. That was, as a matter of fact, no, we don't. Sarcastically, however you want to look at it. No, we don't have any. We didn't catch anything. No, we don't. Well, throw your nets on the right side of the boat. And what'd they do? They threw their nets on the right side of the boat. And all the fish, 153 large fish, the net didn't break. And I thought, now, what's the point there? What's the point of 153 fish? And I've heard all sorts of stuff from people over the years. But honestly, when I put Luke 5 and John 21 together, I believe the Lord opened my eyes to see the difference. In Luke 5, he says, we fished all night. We hadn't caught nothing. I'm tired. I've cleaned my nets. I ain't throwing them out. But you know what? Just to prove you wrong, I'm going to throw it out there. No obedience in that. Yeah, it looks like it was obedient because he let it down. But how many nets did he let down? One. There was no obedience in that. The Lord said, let your nets back in the water. There's no obedience in that. But here, put your nets in. They threw them in. However many they had, went in the water. It was obedience. Listen, when we are obedient to the Lord, without question, there's blessings behind it. They had a blessing, 153 fish. I don't know how much fish cost back then. I know Peter had a pretty good business because he had a home. And to have a house back then, you were doing fair. You wasn't, you know, dirt poor. It might have been middle class. But they were doing pretty good. They were doing better than shepherds. Shepherds didn't have a house. They slept out there with the nasty, stinky sheep. And they are stinky. But Peter was doing pretty good in his business. And they had more than one boat. We know that because James and John had a boat. And Zebedee and Peter was together in business. 153 fish might have meant a lot. But they toiled all night long. You got any meat? No. Well, throw them on the other side. They didn't say, well, who's this nut? They didn't question it. They threw it over, and when they threw it over, it triggered something with old brother John. He's like, oh, hey, Peter, that's Jesus. Now, I don't know how you look at it when you read that story. I've heard people say, well, Peter all of a sudden threw his coat over him because he was naked. Actually, he was stripped down to just a little pair of shorts, but of course their little deal was all wrapped around, a little bit different than what we wear. But he was stripped down fishing. He was working. He threw his coat on. And I've heard people say, well, he was avoiding Jesus. Uh-uh. He beat the boat to shore. They wasn't that far off. And he swam, left them. He was wanting to get to Jesus because he knew where his heart was. And by their obedience, their net didn't break. The Lord blessed them with a big catch. Of course, the Lord used it. He said, you know, when he said, Simon, love me more than these. I believe he did just that. I think he was standing there and he said, Peter, do you love me more than these 153 fish? That's a lot of money, Peter. You going to follow me now? You know, the next time we see Peter, and it wasn't Simon Peter, and from that far on, I don't know, I didn't check it, but I'm not sure the Bible even says Simon Peter no more until 2 Peter. It might. Don't quote me on that. It may, but all in the book. The only place I know of in Acts chapter 10, the Lord tells Cornelius, go to Simon's house, the tanner, and ask for Simon, whose surname Peter. You bring Peter to us. That's who you need. See, when we see Peter pretty much the next time, Peter is taking everything in charge. He is in charge of the whole nine yards. He preaches an unreal message. He got it together. But even then, if you study Peter, you still see a little flare-up of Simon. Because he went to Cornelius' house. Hey, we ain't supposed to be here, but who am I to argue with the Lord? But Paul come to see him years later, and he separated himself from the Gentiles that were there, and Paul got on to him. Paul says, hey, you know better than that. Be aware of the flesh, because it's there with us all the time. And it's out to cause you problems. But always remember this, being obedient to the Lord. Listen, Peter was not walking by faith. Peter, during that time in Luke 11:5 and before that, Peter was walking by sight and by reasoning. Hey, I got to work, man. I got to have some money. The Lord told him, listen, I'm going to take care of you. Don't I take care of the birds? Don't I take care of all the animals? Aren't you more than they? We may not have the fancy speedboat Peter might have been wanting. but nonetheless, Peter, I'll take care of you. He was walking by sight and reasoning. He wasn't walking by faith. But from that point on, we see a whole different Peter. He starts walking by faith. He's letting the Lord take care of his life. And by being obedient, listen, Peter was blessed. You never hear Peter complain no more. Let's stand.